Well, Ms. Bradley, thank you for being with us and letting us share a little bit about yourself and your ministry.
Thank you.
Beginning things off with, what has been the most surprising thing to you as you've gotten to know Eastern Pennsylvania? Maybe more than one, but something surprising as you enter the region.
I'd have to say it's those green pods. So they were told that they're walnut pods. We don't have green pods in New Hampshire, and they nearly killed the small dog. They come off of the roof, onto the deck, and they're quite dangerous. And they're big. And they're dirty. They start green and then they open up and there's a walnut inside. I don't know. Anybody, does anybody harvest them?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's where walnuts come from.
I will bring them to you.
Are these medium people? Are these not like giant green things that you have?
They're smaller than those, but they're similar, yeah.
New giant, the ones in my house.
The ones at BTS. Yeah,
green pods, how about the friends?
Yeah.
other surprises.
We talked about this, but the baloney. I mean,
literally,
I mentioned this in a few of your locations. That this place is known for its baloney.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Yes. In fact, one of my visitations, I received baloney. Actually, probably a lot of my visitations, I have received baloney. I literally got baloney at one of my visitations. So, and I love baloney. Is this going the direction you thought?
The next question is about reimagining. When we started on this task force, I'm going to guess maybe it wasn't a favorite thing you've ever done in the ministry, but I might be wrong. This task force is called the Task Force to Reimagine the Episcopal Church. I'm wondering if there were sort of relevant takeaways. This is a group of people that got together periodically for almost 3 years between demo conventions and made a bunch of recommendations. What kind of takeaways did you have from that experience, and what might they have to say to the sciences?
So, now being, geez, almost 5 years removed from the process, I think, we started gathering, if I'm not mistaken, around the end of 2012 into 2013. And I think the question is whether or not it was a colossal failure or whether it was an adaptive learning. You know, because oftentimes when you engage in process, even when it doesn't go well, and for anyone who followed the Trek process knows that it didn't go well. But, you know, I learned a great deal. I mean, I was, at that time, I was a rector of a, you know, medium, I guess, program-sized church, who was trying to partner with two other small churches who were nearby, thought that I was involved in engaging in kind of creative envisioning at the local level, and thought that that was the kind of engagement that we might be talking about at Trek, or something along those lines. And we were so overwhelmed, I think, by the structures of the church. And, you know, I think it's Shrek that talked about layers, like Shrek. And there are just so many layers of this church, and I didn't realize that these layers were, people had such investment in them. You know, so at times I thought that, you know, reducing the size of an executive council from, I don't know, 40 down to maybe 20 to something similar that you find in the business world that could be a manageable board. I never knew how difficult that task would be. Or reducing the number of committees or commissions, which they did, but then now we've got just as many task forces, which is the title. So theory was on track, I think, as you know. And Michael, I think, in his wonderful way, has brought some of those initiatives forward in a way that has been non-threatening and is moving the church. And I hear from people who say, you know, why don't we try this? And somebody will say, well, that, you know, Trek suggested that. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes envisioning happens at the wrong time. I learned in some of my discovery this past year that there was an incredible envisioning program of congregational development that took place here somewhere around 2014. Reading through it, and I was just stunned by the thoroughness and the leadership there. And for whatever reasons, I don't think it ever, you know, fully evolved. So, again, it sometimes takes time, and sometimes it's not the right time. The last piece I want to say is that if it wasn't for Trek, I wouldn't be sitting here. Because it was through Trek that I met wonderful people like Sean Rowe, who also served on Trek, others in the church, and so the relationships that were honed and built.
It has lived in a lot of layers in the ministry, and now with the bishop and the diocese. I'm interested to know, in times that are challenging, where do you see the love of God in those times? How does that help you as a Christian, as a bishop, as a leader?
Thank you. You know, practices, and we all have our own practices that we fall back on. For me, a couple of them that are really strong that I go to, particularly in the most difficult times. One is that I pray the office, I pray the Roman Liturgy of the Hours, which is very similar to ours. It's just kind of broken down into a four-volume set. Why was that funny?
I've heard that bishops, I've heard that jokes get funnier depending on the color of your shirt. I don't know.
So I love to pray the office, and I love to journal. You know, journaling is something, I don't know when I started it, probably when life was hardest. I don't know when that is. Patty might be able to tell me when that was. But for me, to be able to sit and to pray and to just write, and it really is a lamenting to God at times, to give it over, to speak it, and then sometimes to go back and read back that journal, maybe a month later, maybe 6 months later, and to see how God has continued to work in my life and in the lives around me. And sometimes those prayers and those longings and those fears turned out to be not really fun.
Does spending time with Clara is part of that? I mean, the happiness of trouble.
So
Clara is beautiful girl.
So Clara, some of you met Clara because I did a video about Clara, which, as you know, got me in a lot of trouble because I talked more about the dog than my family. But yes, Clara walked with me. We walked miles and miles. It used to be 2 miles a day, but we're both getting old. So we just go for short little treks now. And Clara has had to adapt to a young dog that's moved into the house. And it's so unfair. I mean, this dog even sleeps in her bed, and Clara's like, what are you doing? You know, Clara is so not needy, and the other dog is so needy. But I think I've worn Clara out for walking. But there is nothing like a dog.
So one more big question from us before we ask some of the questions that came from members of the delegation here. big green sort of question. If money were no object, what would be next for, what do you hope would be next for the rest of the time? What's the big green project that someone at Bill Gates or Tech?
Let me just first say that in some respects money is no object. You know, for those who are gonna be here tomorrow and we're gonna walk through a budget, you'll see that we're not pulling from the entirety of what we could be from our draw. We're making strategic decisions, we're being prudent in our resources and our finances. You know, it's something that the diocese has started to do a few years back, and we continue to do that. So I'm real proud of the fact that there's accountability in our resources. So there are places, as we envision and discern where God's calling us, where we can take resources that we have and put them towards those areas. And that's going to be exciting for us to do, and we're going to do that together. You know, more broadly, I think I spoke this morning about the fact that, you know, I would love to take things like the Ministerial Excellence Fund, which really funds needed areas, congregations who are on the verge, or places where, you know, some of that organic work is happening, and be able to fund that and support that. So to be able to endow that would be exciting to me. And I think a wise and prudent use of resources. Funding formation, what we've been talking about today, and making sure that we have adequate resources in our congregations and in our communities. But if I really had the money, and really had the wisdom, and was able to gather those who have that, to be able to go after some of these systemic issues that just break our hearts. You know, we talked about mental illness, opioid addiction, racial reconciliation, and injustice, criminal justice reform. I mean, these areas that are so critical, and boy, if we had money to make a dent into some of that, that's really what it is.
I think we're going to move on to some of the questions from the delegation. We're going to start with, what do you see as value bets, values of different strengths, some of the strengths that you see in the diocese?
The resilience of the folk here. There is just such a strength in spirit. I continue to marvel from visitation to visitation, from community to community, walking with people who have endured such difficult moments in their lives, in their living, and to see the way in which they carry on and respond to the needs of the most vulnerable in the communities. It's stunning to me.
It's beautiful. Sorry, it's a little awkward to go from some of these to others, but we're going with what we got here.
We can talk about bots again.
Yeah, it's not actually ballooning. It's not a big, this is when you're making a podcast, you can do these things, you can like play a little music between the questions. Cleanse the palate of a like, beautiful, heartfelt answer before moving on to another. But this is a perfectly normal question. What practices of the way of love could you envision parishes doing together as dioceses?
The learning piece is obviously the ways in which we can come together in formation is obviously one in which we can share resources and strengths. I think. This going though, I'm so moved by this notion that we could move forward together. Somebody just grabbed me as I was catching coffee today, and she was just telling me about how she is able to bring needed meals and ministry in two different communities, and how it was organic, and I think replicating. The incredible work that's being done in our communities. So I think the got a framework for Montrose soon, how we would do that as well. But there are so many good things that are happening in our congregations, that if there was a way for us to share it and to let people know that, you know, one or two people can pull this program together. Here's a framework. You know, it's not difficult.
600 codes, was it?
Yes.
For starters.
We can do this. We can do this.
How do you see our youth as a diocese in some of our rural congregations and places?
Say the first part of that.
Our engagement, how do you see us being involved and being present there?
In some of our rural
congregations? Rural congregations.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think North Parish and the Susquehanna region, we have places in our diocese already where rural congregations have forged bonds and found a way to come together and to meet the spiritual and the missional and the worship needs of their communities in really remarkable ways. It is easy to feel like we have to just keep doing it the way we're doing it and to stay siloed for fear. But it's when we open up to the possibility that we can partner with another, that together we are stronger, and just begin to explore that in small ways, I think ultimately we as a diocese become stronger.
So here's one that could go in a lot of different directions. Since taking a seat as Bishop of Diocese of Bethlehem, what, if anything, has pushed you to your knees in prayer?
I've shared this with a number of you, but maybe there's some that haven't heard it. But you know, Monday, Thursday here in Reading, and yeah, thank you, Reading, and to be here and to wash feet and to just hear stories and remind people that they are loved. Is one of the greatest gifts. You know, I get to use the authority that comes in this role to tell people they're loved. And that is such a gift. And so that brings me to my knees, because that's such a responsibility.
Yeah. We already covered all the questions that were a lot about prayer, and I think we talked a lot about the power of prayer and the importance it brings to this nationality, especially us, our nation, and Christians.
Is there a question you wish that we or everyone gathered here had asked?
Someone would like to talk about the Patriots?
No! Or maybe not.
I'm not from here, but I trust me.
Are we starting the Red Sox and not in the playoffs?
One cannot be selfish. It is hard.
So let me just bring things to a close here by saying a big thank you to Bishop Kevin at the end of a very long day to answer some questions.